You're listening to a Countout Podcast. Sweetcast Ichiban back at it again with a very special positive vibes only.
Positive vibes only.
Exclusive. Positive vibes only. Exclusive preview of AEW New Japan's Wrestle Dynasty live from the Tokyo Dome.
On the AEW New Japan Ring of Honor CMLL.
Oh, sorry, I forgot. There's a Stardom. There's, I think that's all of them. Yeah, AEW New Japan CMLL Ring of Honor Stardom Wrestle Dynasty from Tokyo Dome, January 5th, 2025. So first thing I want to say as we enter this, positive vibes only. We're not going down any spirals about things that we may think relating to New Japan's treatment or interaction with AEW or what we want and what we don't want. I think if we're focusing on positive vibes only, the very first thing to focus on is actually how cool it is that this show even exists. And by that, I don't just mean like a second show at Tokyo Dome. I mean like promotion for the likes of CMLL, for Stardom, you know, Ring of Honor, AEW, like all together, coming together to do a special super show. I think when we talk about our kind of gripes with it, our gripes are like when that kind of bleeds over into maybe New Japan stories in not a way that we think helps the furthering of, you know, the Wrestle Kingdom stories, et cetera, but this is positive vibes only and we're not worrying about that. So we're just going to break down the card and look at what, if Curtis and I found ourselves in Japan, we're in Tokyo, we're finally hanging out in real life and we've got our shit together, we're going to the Dome and this is the only show we can see and we're going to make the absolute most of it. We're going to run through the lineup and say what we think about it and preview it and try and focus on the good. How's that sound, man?
I think that sounds great. Like, it's not going to be toxic positivity. We're not going to be gargling all the balls. We're going to be, picking out what we think will be great about it.
Yeah,
and giving that the go.
We're just trying to not get into that place that's very easy to get into when you're say us, where we're like, and why is this motherfucker fucking having a title match a second after he hasn't even like, we're not even going to go down that line. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, we're like, this is essentially showing that he's not going to win. It doesn't matter. This is a one-off show. That's how all the companies are treating it. And that's how we're going to treat it. So it kicks off. I hope what I have here, and I'm pretty sure what I have here is the most up-to-date lineup. So let's hope that is the case. It's very hard to say because fucking nowhere makes anything clear anymore. I used to rely on the previews on the New Japan app, but they fucked that. And see, there, I'm already spiraling. So we're not doing that.
So it's positive vibes only.
Exactly. So it starts off with New Japan versus CMLL 8-man Lucha Gauntlet match. So that's fun. Participants TBA. So it'll be a music hits, they hit the ring type thing. We don't know who's in it. Do you have any thoughts? I don't think I'm up enough on the CMLL luchadors to be able to go like, oh, I hope this guy is in this. You know what I mean?
Well, like, no, I think that's the thing is like you have those people in CMLL like, Caristico, mm-hmm. You've got like Titan and stuff like that you know.
Mm-hmm. Would you count Titan as a New Japan wrestler or a CMLL wrestler here?
I like to count him as a New Japan wrestler personally, but he is mostly based out of CMLL.
So he would count it. So let's just then try and, with what we know, and try and piece this together. If you were going to piece together four New Japan wrestlers to go into this, who would you be picking? So Bushi's obviously in. He wears a mask.
Yeah, Bushi would probably be in. I'm thinking people who trained, who don't have matches that day, who trained in Mexico and can do the Mexican style. So let's go Master Huato, maybe. What do you think about putting Hiromu in here? Because Hiromu is trained up in the Mexican style.
Well, he's got a main event match later. Oh, no.
At Wrestle Dynasty?
Oh, no, no, no. He's at Wrestle Kingdom. He's not on Wrestle Dynasty. So, exactly. Yes, Hiromu could be a great choice for this. Also, Doki is not.
Oh.
Doki is not Dynasty.
I like that team because that's a pretty fucking wild team.
Yeah. So when they say eight-man Lucha Gauntlet, yeah, it would be. It would be teams of four, right? So who are we saying? Wato, Doki, Hiromu, Despy? Like, fuck it.
Oh, man, that'd be sick. Yeah, let's go. Let's do, I mean, that, put absolutely. Your best foot forward, right?
Absolutely. Versus Titan, Volador Jr.
Oh, Volador Jr. would be a lot of fun. What if we had like
Drunkarano Jr. or Soberano Jr.? Yeah, Drunkarano Sr.'s Amy's luchador alter ego.
You can really just kind of wish list. And I think if we're doing it this way, let's put our best foot forward and we'll have like some real badasses in there. Hiromu and Despy and Doki and stuff like that. Let's put some real CMLL badasses in there with like Volador and Caristico and things like that. And really put those let's put those forward.
Either way, I think I'm into that. I think it'll be super fun anyway. And a great way to start it off.
Great way to start the show.
Yeah,
great
absolutely. Way to start the show. All right. Now, then it's followed by International Women's Cup 4-way match. Winner gets a title shot in any promotion she chooses. So it'll probably turn into an AEW thing or whatever. And in it, we've got Willow Nightingale, who counts as AEW / New Japan, but AEW's her brackets under this, Athena from Ring of Honor, Persephone from CMLL, and Momo Watanabe from Stardom. Any thoughts?
Yeah, this has been really fun. The way that every company has gotten there has been different. Like, some of them have done tournaments, some have done different brackets and things like that. It's been really wild. Like each company's got to book their way to it. I think so. It's probably going to be like New Japan does love, Willow Nightingale.
Yeah.
You know,
and so does AEW as well.
So does AEW, but like Athena is, like she's like the fucking queen of American wrestling right now. You know, like she's been ROH Women's Champion for like 150 years.
Yeah. And she's like well and truly like should be an AEW main roster, right? Like,
I mean, you would think so, but like sometimes people are just best where they're at, you know?
Yeah, sure.
Like maybe it's best for her to just continue to build and be this like must see champion on Ring of Honor to like help with that brand. I don't know. She is a huge weeb though, and she definitely wants to like wrestle in Japan. And so like maybe this is her way of finally getting to wrestle in Japan.
Cool.
And finally getting to, like, because I mean, yeah, let's see her versus you know, someone in Stardom. Let's see her, you know, win this cup in Japan and then declare that she wants to go after the red belt, you know.
Yeah,
that'd be cool.
Sure. Absolutely. And what do you, I don't know heaps about Persephone or Momo Watanabe. I know Momo is, she's like one of the bad girls, right? She's from, what's that? What's the faction called in Stardom?
Oedo Tai?
Yeah. She's from Oedo Tai, right? So she a bad girl. And then she a bad girl.
Persephone, I do not know.
Yeah. Okay. So either way, though, I think I imagine Persephone is probably like next up, you know, CMLL.
Yeah, either way, these guys are definitely putting their best foot forward, right? There's going to be lots of eyes. Like with the card being what it is, you know, the one match at the top that everyone wants to see. Mm-hmm. There are going to be people who are tuning in just for that, and they're going to put their best foot forward. That's why we've got Willow and
Athena.
What's her name? Athena.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sure. I wanted to say Ember Moon. It's not Ember Moon. It's Athena.
Yeah, exactly.
So you're going to have, like, everyone's going to be putting their best foot forward here.
Yeah, cool.
So we've got to look at it. Positive vibes only. We're looking at it as they're going to send their best and brightest.
Absolutely. And who are you? I mean, it's kind of hard to pick a winner without knowing the other ladies, but Willow or Athena would probably be most likely, considering it's predominantly an AEW show, but it is an earlier match. And so maybe they, you know, one of the other companies gets a win here to kind of put, say, Persephone on a bigger radar than she currently is, you know.
Could be. Is this just a single, like, four-way match?
It's for a title shot. So she can, okay, whoever wins it gets a title shot in any promotion she chooses. So I kind of feel like that mechanism leads to, like, an Athena being able to use that to jump to the main AEW roster, but who knows? Or even challenge, say, a, like you said, a Stardom wrestler.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Could be her way of, like, finally jumping to the main roster. But then again, it could be a way of her, like, fulfilling that dream of of wrestling in Stardom.
Yeah, cool.
So,
alrighty. Well, we will see. All right. Next.
So here's a question: mm-hmm. Is this an actual, like, AEW show? Was this supposed to be the first AEW show in Japan, and it just became like a Forbidden Doors sort of situation?
Yeah,
like,
I don't know. There's multiple talks about what happened, and when they originally announced it, it was like, this is like AEW show, you know, with New Japan, like, and they were kind of talking all those mad notes, and then now the AEW line is like, this is fucking New Japan's Forbidden Door. So essentially saying kind of like Forbidden Door if New Japan was booking it, not Forbidden Door if we were booking it. So I imagine it will be better than Forbidden Door.
I mean, the Forbidden Doors have been good to great. Yeah, so
exactly. So I think this would be good. This next match, I mean, I don't watch Ring of Honor, so it seems like a weird team, but maybe it's a whole thing. But next up is the Ring of Honor World Tag Team Championship has made it onto the show. Wild. The Sons of Texas, which are Dustin Rhodes and Sammy Guevara, how that team exists, I have no fucking idea, versus House of Torture, Sho and Kanemaru. Kanemaru and Sho recently started rocking up in the States and doing stuff, and I like them as a foil for this. Got to say, every time I see Sammy Guevara's face, it really bothers me. It's very annoying to see. Kanemaru's best heel in the business.
He's the heel master.
He's the heel master,
right?
And yeah, absolutely.
They've got that's two juniors up against Dustin Rhodes, who is not a small human being.
No, exactly.
He is definitely, it is cool to see Dustin Rhodes in the Tokyo Dome. Mm-hmm. Like,
it is cool.
That's been a very long time since that, because what was it, like 92 was the last time WCW did the Tokyo Dome. Wow. I think he was on that show. Like, wow, that's got to be a long time, like 32 years between Tokyo Dome appearances.
Yeah, that's
pretty wild.
That is wild. And I imagine that's probably why it has come this way. I think from what I understand it, and this is just from cursory Googles and stuff, I think the Sons of Texas might also involve the
Von Erichs.
The Von Erichs, yeah. Maybe they're a faction. Maybe they're like Dustin Rhodes, Sammy Guevara, and the Von Erichs. And maybe Shibata. Hard to say. But it looks like it's the Von Erichs and Dustin Rhodes have been doing stuff in Ring of Honor, which I think is cool.
Yeah, Shibata is an honorary Von Erich now.
Oh, I see.
So good for him.
Shibata Von Erich, the little known brother of the others.
Katsuyori. Yeah, Katsuyori Von Erich.
Either way, I'll watch this match. It's fine.
Yeah, I think you're going to see a lot of magic between the heel master, Yoshinobu Kanemaru, and Dustin Rhodes. That sounds fun.
Absolutely. And, like, as annoying as Guevara is to see, he's a very good wrestler. He's just, like, been the most fucking spottily booked, constantly changing heel and face, annoying tongue out motherfucker like I've ever met. And I've never met him. But like, you know what I'm trying to say though, right? Like they've been so inconsistent with him that it's very hard to like get behind him or know what he is. But I don't watch Ring of Honor. Maybe there's been like a whole fucking storyline where, you know, Goldust has taken him under his wing and he's fucking now good old Texas boy. I don't know what the goal is. So I guess that will become evident to us as this plays out.
I guess so. And you know what? Positive vibes only. Maybe it'll make us want to watch Ring of Honor and find out what's going on with Sammy Guevara.
Maybe. Unlikely. Maybe. But yep. wait, positive vibes only. Only not because I'm not interested in Ring of Honor, not because I'm not interested in Sammy Guevara, which I'm not, is because I can only watch so much wrestling in my life at the moment.
Yes.
And so they could have the greatest match of all time, but I still severely doubt that I will be signing in, but it may rehabilitate him in my eyes. And that's something. Plus, I love Dustin Rhodes, so that's fine.
Yes. If you don't like Dustin Rhodes, I'm sorry.
You're right.
I
mean, he's great.
You're wrong. He's great. He's always been great. He can do no wrong in my eyes inside of a wrestling ring.
Absolutely. He also, like when Amy and I went to the first Double or Nothing in Vegas, he and Cody had that amazing brother versus brother match, fucking match, like where they were pissing blood and crying and stuff. And it was one of the best matches I've ever seen live, I'd have to say. It was,
I can imagine,
really
it
fucking
was, it
good.
Was quite cathartic.
Yeah, and quite emotional and stuff. And a lot of the time when you go to wrestling, it's just spot shows and exhibitions and stuff. There was a lot happening there, and it was really cool. Next up after that, IWGP Tag Team Championship, the Young Bucks, Matthew Jackson and Nicholas Jackson, who have been on hiatus for some time. I think there was an injury, something going on. They haven't been on AEW TV anyway, versus the United Empire's Great Okan and question mark, because our boy Hanare did his knee. Very unfortunate. He assures me he's all right. Who do we think the mystery partner is? The word on the street is it's Ospreay. Right? It's got to be Ospreay. Like, they haven't said it, but surely it's got to be Ospreay.
I mean, you would think that it can't be because they would book Ospreay, but they would want to book Ospreay for the. You know,
tickets or
the fans to be there, the ticket sales. But I don't know. Like I don't want them to bring back Ospreay and Okada right now, you know, but it would be nice. It'd be nice. The like, first two
who else could they roll into that spot that wouldn't feel like a disappointment?
I don't know, man. I don't even know. Like, you could put anyone in the United Empire in that spot. I would love to see Jeff Cobb, you know, versus Jeff Cobb and Okan versus the Young Bucks. That'd be great.
It's like if it was Jeff Cobb, though, you'd just say. Like, it doesn't. But then again, they put Alex Zane in that Super Junior tag and said he had a mystery apartment and it was, like, Taguchi. So, like, you know.
Yeah.
Who was the great Okan's partner in the UK when they were that undefeated tag team?
So that was Legion. That was Shaw Samuels and Rampage Brown. And I don't think it would be Rampage Brown. Like, I don't think he's got a huge name in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
At least not enough to be X, you know?
Yeah, true.
It's got to be Ospreay. If it's not Ospreay, are you gonna kind of shit on it, or what do you think?
Not necessarily. If it made sense and was kind of cool, but what you'd be thinking, because the Young Bucks are in it as well, you'd be like, it kind of makes sense that it's a big match. You put in Ospreay.
What if it's
Mark Davis,
Dunk Daddy Zilla? Yeah,
I would be actually more happy if it was Mark Davis.
Yeah, I would too, actually. Yeah. I would love to see Mark Davis again.
Because Kyle Fletcher's on this, like, heel turn, new Ospreay, proto-star, Don Callis tip. And he has, like, done stuff like, you know, attacked Ospreay after the bell, and Dunkzilla, like, ran out and didn't chase him off, but was like, what the fuck are you doing? And then he just walked out on him. So for them to even show Davis, he's obviously on his way back from injury, and they ain't doing anything with him. So it could be a real cool way to re-debut him.
I think so. I think it would be that would be
and the Japan next love him. Who would... Japan love him. So,
dude, everyone loves the Dunk Daddy.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that would be my best case scenario. But Ospreay would obviously be amazing. So, and then the Young Bucks are the Young Bucks, and they will be there.
They certainly are. Mm-hmm. They will be there. I am not a Young Bucks fan. I never really have been.
Oh,
I recognize I that they are been. A lot of fun to watch.
But. I definitely have been in the past. There was a time when I was one of the biggest Young Bucks fans. You know what I mean? But just like all things, it cycles around and they're doing different stuff and things like that. And time marches on. You know what I mean? But I don't doubt they will be amazing in this match. Like they're so good at what they do. So they'll absolutely kill it. All right, next up, Strong Women's Championship match versus Undisputed British Women's Championship match. Winner takes all, Mercedes Moné versus Mina Shirakawa. The non-positive vibes part of me is like, I guess Mercedes gets another belt. Like, she just has them all, like, for no reason. Okay.
This is fucking wild to me because, like, Mina Shirakawa is a fucking star.
Yeah.
And, but I mean, like, are we going to see Mercedes?
Why the fuck not just drop it on Mina? Like, why the fuck not? It would launch Mina. Mercedes would still have, like, the AEW title that she has. I think she has the TBS or something. She has one of the women's titles. And she's got the strong title. This is just the strong women's title. Fucking put it on Mina. Like, and then she can take it to, you know, take it with the British Championship to wherever that's from. RevPro, is it? Undisputed British Women's Championship? Either way. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think that we're going to be seeing Mercedes Moné, like, in the copper box. Or not the copper box, like... We're not going to be seeing her at York Hall defending the fucking RevPro British Women's Championship. I would love if we did. Mm-hmm. Andy Kildane, like, I mean, if you can get it, you go for it. Mm-hmm. Like, but dude, are we really going to see, or if she gets that belt, is she just going to drop it back to Mina like a week later?
Mm.
Like, I didn't think that we would see Mina in the, you know, defending the RevPro British Heavyweight or British Women's Championship.
Mm-hmm. That's interesting.
It's,
mm-hmm.
it's wild. But like, I have seen Mina over here. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Mercedes would be the first person to, like, you know, show up and be a fucking, like, an actual legit, like, mega star name that just comes over to York Hall.
Yeah. Well, you know? I mean, she's definitely getting very popular in AEW. You know, they brought in Mariah May through Toni Storm and then brought her in through Mariah May, and then Toni Storm's having a crisis at the moment, which is very funny, and Mariah May's the champion, and then Mina's like her ex-friend that she tried to – like, everybody's really into her. So you could absolutely – they should use this opportunity to launch her for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mina's a star. Mercedes is obviously a star. It doesn't really matter who wins, as long as they defend that belt. Like, as a RevPro fan, like, I'm like, hey, if we want to put a RevPro belt on Mercedes Moné, I'm into it, as long as we get Mercedes Moné in RevPro at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to do it. Absolutely. You don't want that title just being dropped on, like, fucking collision.
Like, anyone who listens to this fucking show knows that I get really pissy when belts fucking disappear.
Yeah.
And if Mercedes Moné, like, gets the, because it's Queen of Southside and RevPro Women's belt, that's the undisputed title.
Yeah, okay.
And if she gets both of those belts and just fucks off with them for 6 months, I'm going to be real upset.
Yeah,
this is a positive vibes only podcast.
Yeah, so we're not talking about that. So Mina's winning.
I'm thinking about seeing Mercedes Moné in the fucking York Hall would be fucking sick.
Yeah, it would be. Though, yeah, the more we talk about it, I think Mina could be an unlikely win here. It'd be good. And I feel like Mercedes owes New Japan some fucking lay down time, so... sometimes staring at the lights, so yeah, never know. Next up, Never Openweight Championship and AEW International Championship dual title match versus Ishii. So whoever wins out of Shingo Takagi and Konosuke Takeshita on Wrestle Kingdom will be the Stone Pitbulls waiting for him here. Now, both of those names versus Ishii is a banger. Who, I mean, I think we've talked about this and we talked about on Stiffness for We Work Stiff. We're probably feeling this is probably going to be Takeshita, right? Takeshita versus Ishii in the Dome, unbelievable. But also, yeah. So if it is Takagi, fucking unbelievable too. Like, there's no way this isn't amazing.
No, it's going to be fucking fantastic no matter who it is. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this is Takeshita getting Shingo and Ishii in the Dome back to back.
Yeah.
That's fucking sick. That's the ultimate, like, look what you can get. Mm-hmm. Look at, like, yeah, you had a match with Kenny, you had a match with Ospreay, but you don't like living in America. You don't like American booking. Here, Shingo and Ishii in the Dome. Let's go.
How's it fucking feel? Exactly. So yeah, that would be amazing. Either way, I think if I had to call for one of them, if I wanted one to win more, I really think I'd like to see Takeshita win it. I think Takeshita and Ishii would just be a great combination that we haven't really got to see properly, and in that platform would be amazing. But yeah, definitely no tears shed if it's Shingo. That'd still be Shingo and Ishii. You'll kill it any day of the fucking week, you know.
And I mean, like, steal a belt back from Tony.
Yeah.
Steal that international belt back from Tony for a couple months.
Oh, you're saying Shingo, then Ishii wins against Takeshita. Is that what you're saying?
No. Because the belt on Takeshita is up against Shingo as well.
Yes. So if Shingo wins, yeah, exactly. He's the AEW international champion. As well. But yeah, I think Takeshita and having him come over a bit and do it. And I just think, I feel like the match that Shingo and Ishii would have would be amazing. But I feel like the match that Takeshita and Ishii would have would be different, you know.
And it's something we haven't seen before.
In a different way. Yeah. And you know how Ishii gets with these fucking young dudes. I think back to some of the fucking, you know, G1 heats against Kenny Omega and stuff. He can get creative. He can do some crazy shit if people want to do it. And he doesn't like to be, you know, upstaged by the young kids. So he'll just be getting Blue Thunderbomb through 20 tables and not give a fuck about it. Like, it'll be wild.
He's fucking ready. And the night before, like, if it's Takeshita, the night before he's already faced Shingo, like, you're gonna go into the next night against Ishii, who's gonna be completely rested and ready to fuck you up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. Wow. Which is kind of why I think it would be Takeshita, because I feel like both Shingo and Ishii are also getting on a bit, doing two nights back to back in the Dome. I think it's a bit more of a young man's game, and I think Takeshita's ready for it. Mm-hmm. So yeah, we'll have to see. Next up, match of the fucking day. I'm surprised it's actually in the fucking middle of this show, but I guess after this match runs, they got to have some time for people to fucking catch their breath before Zack Sabre Jr. fucking headlines or whatever, you know what I mean? Like, otherwise Omega and Kid are smoking everybody out of the building. So Kenny Omega versus Gabe Kidd, a lot of shit being spoken on fucking social media between the two. This is what, I don't know if it's what the world is paying for, but it's what I'm fucking paying for. Like,
it's what everybody's paying for. Like, yeah. I mean, everybody wants to see the return of Kenny Omega.
Yeah.
Everybody wants to see, you know, Dome Kenny Omega. Last time Kenny was in the Dome against Ospreay was fucking off the
unbelievable
chart.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everybody wants to see that and the perfect foil for Kenny Omega.
And I love this opportunity for Gabe. And I also love, like, how different a wrestler Gabe Kidd is from him, from Ospreay, from Okada, from all, like, when you think about all Kenny's legendary Tokyo Dome matches, Gabe Kidd's a completely different fucking wrestler. And so I think it's going to be very fucking interesting. I wouldn't surprise if it got very bloody. I just can't fucking wait for it. I'm so excited about that match.
I'm hell about it. If this match wasn't on this show, I probably wouldn't watch anything except for the title match at the end.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the rest of the card looks pretty good. This is a must-see event.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? I don't know. There's another match coming up in not the next match, but the one after that I reckon you'll be pretty into too. But yeah, it is a must see and it's going to be fucking dope.
I'm so excited for it. Like, yeah. we all love Kenny. Like even me, like I was never like the big, like Bullet Club guy or anything like that. Like we all love Kenny. We all know what Kenny can do. Is he going to be able to be that showstopper? Is he going to be able to be the best bout machine that we all know and love?
I just can't imagine him not being, you know,
but he's been on the shelf for 15 months.
Doesn't matter. Does not matter. I think he's that kind of fucking talent. I think he gonna kill it, man.
I hope so. I don't think he would do it if he couldn't. Mm. Yeah. I think that he knows what is expected of him. Mm-hmm. And if he couldn't do it, he wouldn't
do it. I don't think he would be back unless he felt that he could be who he is. Also, how the fuck do we watch Dynasty? Is it just on Wrestle Kingdom? I mean, on...
It's on...
New Japan app?
Yeah, it's on...
Do I have to pay for it or some shit, or it's just included?
I don't know.
Well, it just says live in 2 days, commentary, start streaming.
Yeah, I think it's...
No, I think it's legit.
I think it's just free, yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, not free. I mean, we've been paying for the shit for 10 years, but but yeah, absolutely. That's good. I was stressed that I had to fucking buy a Triller pay-per-view or something to see this. But yeah, either way, without saying too much about it, very, very excited, and it's why I'll be tuning in on
Sunday. It's the match of the night for sure. It's going to be the match of the might be the match of the weekend.
Mm. It could steal the entire fucking weekend, to be honest. And that's a tall order to do when you think about some of the matches on Wrestle Kingdom. When you think about Takeshita and Shingo, when you think about Doki and Despy, when, you know, you look at these things, there's some matches there, but this one, fucking circle it, because it would probably steal the weekend, I would say.
Absolutely.
All right. Next up, fucking this is a tough position to be in, being these guys. So Yota Tsuji versus Jack Perry. If Tsuji has won the global heavyweight title at Wrestle Kingdom, this match will be for that title. And...
That's
stiff.
That's tough.
Jack Perry right better be driving that bus down the fucking ramp and into Yota Tsuji to fucking out fucking do Gabe and Kenny. Jesus Christ.
I'm excited for the match. I love both of these guys. Mm-hmm. I think New Japan Jack Perry is fucking it. Like scapegoat Jack Perry fucking rules.
You'd have to think this is all the bullshit, right? That's how you do this match after that match.
It have to be. Like you've got to have like, you know, Evil and Ren Narita come down with him and the whole house. Mm-hmm. The bus. Yeah, drive the bus up.
Yeah.
Come out with your goat head on, everything. Like
LIJ hit the ring. It's just the fucking the works is how you do it. Full faction warfare. It was supposed to be two guys, but it's just a fucking shit show.
It has to be. Like they can't go out there and try and put on an actual wrestling match, right? I just can't see it.
No, they just can't. No. But they could have a very good wrestling match, but not fucking after the match that's before them. Like they just can't do it. Like so they've just
that's
got
so unfair.
It's so unfair.
Why is that not later on in the fucking night?
Because to give time for the main event to fucking recover. But I think that's why they're in that spot. Because it'll just be shenanigans. I'll pistol whip the next man that says shenanigans. Like it's fucking, it's going to be that.
What's that restaurant you like with all the shit on the walls and the mozzarella sticks?
Super true. Oh, you mean shenanigans? They're like, I think looking at this, you know what? I'm not even going to speak it into existence. I'm not even going to say it because it's positive vibes only. We're not even saying about like how matches on this card almost reveal the booking of the night before. We're not even talking about it. And we're jumping on to the next match, which I think you're going to like this one, man. If Finlay retains the IWGP Global Heavyweight Championship at Wrestle Kingdom, this match will be for that title. David Finlay versus Brody King. Banger.
Ooh.
Recently announced. Now you want to fucking talk some tough guy shit. Not that we now definitely know that he'll guaranteed have the fucking belt, But if Finlay retains, walking into the fucking dome to fight Brody King with that entrance, just beating the fuck out of each other, you know he'll be trying to powerbomb fucking Brody King. It's going to be a fucking headbanger.
It's going to be so much fun. Dude, seeing Brody King in the Tokyo Dome, like, that's all that I really fucking care about. Like, so I know that
I love him.
This match is going to be fucking powerhouse.
Yeah.
Right? Because, like, David Finlay, like, everyone knows, like, he's sneaky powerhouse. Mm-hmm. Nothing sneaky about Brody King. No. Brody King's just going to fucking throw you. And I love it. I love this. And I love that they're both fucking just mean motherfuckers too. Like, Brody King will choke you out.
Yeah.
David Finlay will fucking beat you down. This is going to be so much fun. Mm-hmm. So much fun.
That's it.
Now, the question, the thing about booking these two shows back to back, like, you know, oh, if this person has this belt, then this will be for that. Like, that gets really annoying having to say before every fucking match.
Yeah, and I've got to say it two more times before I'm done with this preview.
But like, you're only going to have to say it two more times, because on the fifth, we will know where everything's fallen.
Exactly. So. Exactly. And so I think either of these matches, you could argue that either guy could walk in with the title and verse it. Like, imagine Jack Perry just fucking stealing the fucking global title. You can absolutely see it happen. I mean, is there a reality somewhere where Brody King walks out with that fucking belt? No, but fuck it, it'd be a sick
cool reality. It'd be so fucking sick to see, especially if we got to borrow Brody King for a couple of months.
Yeah.
Brody King in the G1, bro. Oh.
Yeah, that would be dope. But I think it'll be what it is, and I think we're talking Finlay having it, Finlay retaining, due to, you know, hitting fucking Brody King in the head with a shillelagh, something like that. But either way, I'm very excited to see the match, and I'm just stoked that Brody King's going to be in the dome.
Here's the question. Mm-hmm. Now, with David Finlay having two matches for the GHC, that's a 50% opportunity that he loses. So we're going to do Steiner math here.
Okay.
David Finlay, 50% chance of losing the GHC against Yota Tsuji. Mm-hmm. Then if he retains, a 50% chance of losing it against Brody King. That's a 25% chance mm-hmm. of retaining after the weekend.
Yeah.
Now, if David Finlay loses the GHC mm-hmm. and Gabe Kidd beats Kenny Omega. Mm-hmm.
He's now got a 63.5% chance of winning the global.
1/3 chance of 123.3% chance of beating Kenny. No. So I mean, like, what's the chance? What's the over under on are we seeing a shakeup come New Year's Dash?
Mm. I would love it.
I would too. I would too.
I would not hate it. But either way, I think, I mean, that picture will become a little bit clearer once Wrestle Kingdom has played out. You know what I mean? New Year's Dash is a hard one to predict, because sometimes it'll be like all shock, and sometimes it's like, this is another house show and nothing's happening. Like, you know?
Yeah. I mean, some you'll get some good matches. Like, mm-hmm. they never have bad matches on New Year's Dash. You'll always have a lot of fun. There'll be some stuff that you can see. And, you know, after New Year's Dash, we can really sit down and, like, kind of plot out what we think's, you know, going to be the stories going forward for the next, for the next year. But are you are we thinking that something big's going to happen? I mean, this is two nights at the Tokyo Dome and a New Year's Dash afterwards. Is
there any juice left to squeeze? And it's hard to say, because we don't even know if there's been shocks at Wrestle Kingdom yet. You know what I mean? Like, that's actually a perfect segue into this next match. So the next match, if Shota Umino wins the IWGP World Heavyweight Championship at Wrestle Kingdom, this match will be for the title Shota Umino versus Claudio Castagnoli. So has Shota shocked the world, shocked us, shocked everybody? Is the new champion fucking walking into this? Because that landscape looks completely different to the one that we know now. You know what I mean? Everybody, it seems pretty foregone conclusion that Zach is walking in and out of the dome over 2 days, fucking living as the champion, dying by the champion, eating his lunch as the champion, like he's not losing shit. But you never know.
It's just such a... I love Claudio Castagnoli. I know that I live in the Cesaro section. I know that you are not a fan.
I live as far from the Cesaro section as it can possibly be.
But where on what fucking planet is that match, especially without the title, higher than Kenny versus Gabe? On what fucking planet?
Yeah, it's crazy. And so I think the only reason it is to keep up the minor disbelief that Shota even stands a chance.
We're gonna eat our fucking words when he wins on at Wrestle Kingdom.
And then Claudio wins it. Words. Claudio IWGP champion takes it back to AEW and we now, watching wrestling.
This could be, because Claudio's a Death Rider, this could be something to further along the story of Shooter and Moxley.
Yeah. And again, that's the kind of thing where it's like, it could be all that, or the word John Moxley may not even be said.
Dome,
yeah.
If they wanted to sell tickets in the dome, why wouldn't they put Moxley's name out there?
Exactly. Exactly. But also,
I think they're relying on us like knowing.
Yeah. And I think sometimes like New Japan doesn't have a problem with keeping surprises. And then knowing that people will talk about it afterwards. Like, it wasn't even fucking booked. And then next minute we had Ospreay and Moxley and all this fucking shit. Like, they like that, I think.
It does seem like we're not getting the best. We're not getting the best from AEW sometimes. But then I look at it and I'm like, oh, we're getting Kenny and the Young Bucks.
And Brody King. Not just Kenny. Kenny's first match back after injury.
Yeah. So positive vibes only. Some really good shit. Exactly. Really good shit.
So anyway, I mean, we've talked about it ad nauseum. Steinemath aside, if Shooter shocks the world, this is your AEW title match. Even then, I still don't think you would flip it to headline the show. I still think the headlining match is Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet.
If Shooter wins the title and it's Shooter versus Claudio, Gabe and Kenny has to close the show. you can't. Lie.
The show closed by Claudio versus Shooter. Jesus Christ, that would be shit.
Negative vibes on that.
That's negative vibes only from me. I can't even fake it. Like.
Yeah. We're trying not to look at the booking like from the night before. Yeah. And how
it's hard not to, though. That's why it's positive vibes only, because you can't start to get fucking heated about it. You know what? Let's not even talk about Shooter anymore. Let's talk about the possibilities of Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet, because when this was first announced, at least they did a bit of an angle, despite how clunky it is with where the title will be and results and things like that. I think on paper, I had never even considered Ricochet versus Zack Sabre Jr. as a possibility. And then when it suddenly was one, I was like, that's actually pretty cool. There's a huge style difference here. And I'm very keen to see how that plays out.
I wonder how well Ricochet is going to be able to sell when Zach bends his leg above his head and like wraps it around and ties him in a bow.
When he does like a 630 into it, like, and gets caught in midair into a fucking choke out.
Exactly. Zach's fucking, it's going to be great. It's going to be a lot of fun.
The second he rolls out, you know how he does that 630, Zach rolls out of the way, he hits the ground into like a little somersault and immediately head gets caught fucking wrapped into a pretzel and taps out. That's how it goes down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's going to be fucking fantastic.
Yeah.
But this is going to be a great match.
The spots actually write themselves for this match. You start thinking really about the things they do and the shit they do and you're like, oh, this is just going to work. It's just going to work so good. Zach's going to have so many answers for like the fucking amazing shit he does and be like a great foil for somebody as dynamic as Ricochet.
Yeah, he's going to lay on the ground and be like, just come off the top rope at me.
Yeah.
I dare you. Let's go.
It's like, I imagine, you know, when Ricochet did that, like, I don't know, somebody was outside the ring. This was in WWE, and he ran from inside the ring, did like a full fucking double flip to the outside and just landed on his feet directly in front of the guy to stare him down.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I could picture that. And then Zach just immediately European uppercuts him right in the fucking jaw. Yeah.
He's gonna Zach's gonna be like, I'm not impressed again.
Exactly. Like, it'll be good. And so, yeah. And then obviously, Ricochet's been sort of having more heel leanings lately. And hinting at different things and maybe possible affiliations with the likes of like the Hurt Men, the Hurt Business, what are they called? The Hurt Corporation.
The Hurt Fellas.
The Hurt Syndicate, yeah, whichever.
CEOs of Hurt, so Hurt LLC.
Whether you see MVP and Sheldon X Benjamin and Bobby Lashley in the dome.
It would be super cool to see Shelton X Benjamin and MVP in the dome, wouldn't it?
And Sheldon X Benjamin, former Suzuki-gun member as well.
Exactly.
Though
exactly.
Him and Zach did not cross over, right? They did not. They were not members at the same time.
No, they were.
Were they?
Not for very long, though, because they were both in Noah for a bit together.
Yeah, because I feel like I saw Zach join Suzuki-gun, but when I started watching, Sheldon was gone from New Japan. So I never saw him in Suzuki-gun when I was like actively watching.
That was when, oh God, I don't remember. That was when they were away, like in Noah at that point. So I wasn't paying a lot of attention to it.
Because Zach didn't join Suzuki-gun until he came to New Japan. Like, he sort of debuted and was immediately Suzuki-gun. But I don't think he was Suzuki-gun when Suzuki-gun were in Noah. Like, that was sort of the vehicle they used to sort of have him come into New Japan.
Hmm. I don't remember off the top of my head.
But either way, there's a thread there. Whether they pull on it, who knows? But yeah.
Who knows? But yeah, like, just to have, like, I mean, Shelton Benjamin again in the Tokyo Dome in New Japan, MVP, you know, the first Intercontinental Champion in the Tokyo Dome, like in New Japan again. It's cool.
It would be really cool if they do it. Yeah, absolutely.
Again, how is this match going over Gabe and Kenny?
Because it's the title match, in theory.
Okay. Yeah. No, you're right.
But then there is the option, again, you throw a bunch of shit at the wall. There's things you can do. TMDK staring down, Ricochet getting a new faction, which he doesn't currently have, but you know what I mean? Ricochet's old friends trying to reason with him. There's lots of things you can do. Like, there's threads there that they may not even pull on. It may just be like, you two just go out and have a banger, and they will. Or they may go a bit more dramatic route, as it is a crossover with AEW, and pull on those threads. So I guess we'll have to see.
So in the end,
doesn't even matter.
I don't know what song you're singing.
It's Linkin Park, bruh.
Oh, fuck Linkin Park. Jesus Christ.
Fuck you, yeah, man.
Gross.
Said nobody ever.
Disgusting. Anyway. Where are you at on the scale of sweet versus sour or savory?
I think I'm sweet on it. I think it's fine. The little, like I said, the little things about who is the champion and annoyance about placement on things and how this is affected, I can let it all go. If it's you and me walking into the Tokyo Dome to see a one-off show, we're having a good time here. And I think if I was just to pick highlights from this, I could almost like, and I think everything has the possibility of being good. 8-Man Lucha Gauntlet will be super fun, but the Young Bucks United Empire, whoever that mystery partner is, I mean, there's the possibility it could be somebody should not work, but I imagine it will be super good. The Young Bucks will ensure it's really good. Ishii versus whoever wins in that international scenario will be amazing. Kenny and Gabe are going to be unbelievable. Tsuji and Perry will be a fucking shit show, probably in a very good way. Finlay and Brody King just being there is fucking sick. Zack Sabre Jr. and Ricochet. Like, I think there's a lot to be happy about here, and I'd be very happy to walk into, like, just walk up to the dome, buy a ticket on the day, and fucking walk into it if I was in Japan. So, yeah, I would say I'm sweet on it.
How do you think this is going to stack up to the other Forbidden Doors? Because some of the other, like, the first Forbidden Door was off the charts. It's so fucking good.
It was off the charts, and it's kind of a little bit hard to compare it because really this doesn't feel like AEW are throwing their fucking hat in the ring properly for this. Because if you...
It really doesn't.
Well, no. How do we get, I mean, it's 100%
IWGP
doesn't.
Championships. We've had IWGP championship matches at all the Forbidden Doors.
Well, let's talk about all the motherfuckers that aren't on this card from AEW. So, positive vibes only. How good, before I go on this round, I'm going to say, how good would it be if you got to see the likes of Swerve, Moxley, MJF, Christian Cage, Adam Copeland,
Hangman,
Adam Page, Orange Cassidy, like all their main eventers, I guess Adam Cole, some people would say. I'm trying to think who else they've fucking, FTR, the Acclaimed. Okay, there's 10 names, acts off the top of my head, not even really thinking about their lineup that aren't there that are in their main event scene right now, this show.
It's tough because it's not a Forbidden Door. Mm-hmm. It's a multi, multifaceted show.
CMLL could be a little bit higher.
It really feels like they're not putting forth their best and brightest, but we're getting the Bucks. We're getting Kenny.
They're putting forward some of their best and brightest. And to be honest, I am pretty happy with the people, Claudio aside, but like Ricochet has history with New Japan. Fucking Brody does as far as like Strong and things like that, before he went to that stuff. Jack Perry does, Kenny does, the Bucks do, Takeshita does,
Brody did a tour in
2019. Yeah, he did. Yeah. And so like when you look at these people, Dustin Rhodes being there, Willow and Athena and stuff like that, like I feel like if this really feels like New Japan booked it, like they said, look, you can't get into our like real main event guys, but pick who you want. And it feels like they went, well, let's get our fucking boys in. And it'd be cool to have Claudio too. Can we have Moxley? Nah, he's not going to be available that day. We'll send his second and then we can use that as a stepping stone to him or whatever. So I think there's definitely stuff to work with here. But there are notable New Japan names left off this too. You know what I mean? Naito isn't on this card. Sonata ain't on either card, which I kind of low-key love.
Do you think Sonata's going to win that Rambo and get his shot at like a IWGP title match?
I fucking hope not.
Do you think it's cool to have the Rambo be IWGP number one contenders match now?
I do. So for anybody that doesn't know that news, the Great O'Khan retired the KOPW belt and said the Rambo should be for a number one contenders shot. Why he has the power to do that, I guess he just cashed it in as his last drop of power. But I think the Rambo will be fun. If you had to pick anybody that you think will be in it that will potentially win it, who would you pick?
I think they should go off the board a little bit. Because at this point it could be anybody, and they'll probably have Togi Magabe's and stuff like that, like little Blue Justice in there. But like, it would be cool for them to pick someone who's not on the show. Like you said, Sonata's not on the show. Mm-hmm. It'd be cool to see like if O'Khan could, he's like, nah, fuck this. I'm turning the Rambo into a, number one contenders match. And he called his shot that way.
Yeah.
You know?
How about hear me out, Tai Chi. So
I was just about to mention Tai Chi.
So that to me, he didn't get the win over O'Khan for the KOPW. O'Khan turns it into this, but then in the Rambo, Tai Chi manages to get the win, and then we finally get the Dangerous Techers explode, and you get Tai Chi versus, because Tai Chi's whole thing is like, I'm just trying to win these other titles because I'm just trying to get to Zach, right? Like, I want to have that brother versus brother match. So Tai Chi versus Zach, to me, is the narrative fucking one I'd love to see.
And that would be a great way to, like, they'd have a great match at New Beginning, and then you wouldn't have to, you could have someone else win the New Japan Cup or something like that. Yeah. You wouldn't have to win the New Japan
Cup. A few years back, something like that. But you could
Gabe, possibly.
You could also have, like, Tai Chi fucking say, get the best of Sonata, who fucked him over, in order to win that spot against Zach. So it kind of, like, you know, wraps up that rivalry and heads him into what's next.
I don't think that rivalry is anywhere near wrapped up.
No, I'd love to see it wrapped up, though. Just wrap it on.
Yes, I know you would. Just wrap it.
I know. And then you saying that immediately makes me go, okay, and then Sonata costs him it, and so then the rivalry's still going as fucking Tai Chi has to go through him to get there.
Eventually become IWGP World Heavyweight Champion,
that's
Tai Chi.
That's what we opulence. Want to
see. And there is the positivest of positive vibes.
Absolutely. That's what we wanted to see. Tell the people where to find us.
You can find us on the various internets at, you can find Rafe on the various internets at Faces Feels Cast. You can find me on the various internets at LDestructo83. You can find the show itself on the various internets at Ichiban Sweet. You can find our Patreon at patreon.com/countoutpod, where every bit of money that you donate, whether it be $3 American dollar dues, $5 American dollar dues a month, you can throw that in a bucket, and everybody in the Countout podcasting family gets a little taste, gets a little taste at the end of the, and we all the money that you send our way helps a bunch of cool wrestling podcasters do a bunch of cool wrestling podcast things. We really appreciate it. We love you. You can hear our bonus show, The Sweet Spot, as one of the perks of becoming a Patreon member. Either way, not everyone has the money it takes to give us gifts of money, especially after the Christmas season. So if that's you, you know what you can do? Help us out by doing something free.
Yeah.
Rate and subscribe.
Just
you can tell a friend, put this on your social media and be like, hey, I know a bunch of dorks who are into fucking New Japan Pro Wrestling. Let's share this on our Facebook, on our Twitter, on our Blue Sky, on our Threads, Instagram, whatever you got there, man. Help us out. We would really appreciate it.
Help us out. Absolutely. We're good people who just want to do some good podcasting things for you. That's it. Let us help you.
For you.
For you.
And for us.
I know. Exactly. For everybody.
But mostly for you.
Mostly for you. I mean, there's no real benefit in it for you other than we just get to talk about New Japan, which we like to do. So, yeah.
I mean, it's a free show. You can help us out by doing something free.
Absolutely.
We take our time to do free things for you. You can take your time to do free things
for
us.
We're all doing free things for everybody else. It's quid pro quo. Absolutely.
That's right.
So, yeah, there you go. That's another show. Enjoy Dynasty. Enjoy Wrestle Kingdom. It's the most wonderful time of year. We're going to get through these, and then we'll reconvene, and we'll talk about all the fallout of what I'm sure will be a couple of great shows. Until then, you know what it be. It be rate and subscribe, listen or die. Spirit of Fight, style of strong, sweet cast.
Ichiban.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Hello, my name is Jessica and I'm the host of Jumpy Knee Pod, a modern day All Japan podcast. Join me and a guest each month as we cover all that went down in the ring, outside of the ring, and everywhere else. Big title matches, tournaments, character arcs, storytelling, feuds, and more. It's all covered on Jumpy Knee Pod. Look out for a bonus episode every once in a while, covering a variety of All Japan topics. So make sure you tune into Jumpy Knee Pod. It's a new All Japan podcast for a new All Japan era.